Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to Sahara Glade, stage manager of the Orlando Jazz Festival, which is taking place March 9th through the 11th in beautiful Orlando, Florida. I also got a chance to chat with some of the actors of Underground, Star, and Scandal during SCAD's A TV Fest, and former LaFace Records senior director of marketing turned life strategist Sherry Riley is in the studio to chat about her new book, Stop Spending 100% of Your Time on 10% of Who You Are. But first, here's this week's casting buzz and entertainment news with Reva Blue.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
Central Casting is looking for men and women of all ethnicities to portray airport patrons and travelers for a future episode of MacGyver. The shoot will take place on Thursday, February 21st. If this is you, please submit your information to macatl@centralcasting.com with airport patron in the subject line of the email. Central Casting is also in need of a few extras between the ages of 18 to 26 years old to portray MIT students for another episode of MacGyver set for Thursday, February 23rd. All ethnicities are welcomed and you must look like a college student. Email your name, photo, and contact information to macatl@centralcasting.com with young student in the subject line of the email. In other related entertainment news, Oprah Winfrey's HBO film adaptation of The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks is set to air on Saturday, April 22nd. The film tells the story of Henrietta Lacks, an African-American woman whose cells were used to create the first immortal human cell line, told through the eyes of her daughter, Deborah Lacks, played by Oprah Winfrey. The film chronicles her search to learn about the mother she never knew and understand how the unauthorized harvesting of Lacks' cancerous cells in 1951 led to unprecedented medical breakthroughs, changing countless lives and the face of medicine forever. The film was shot last fall in Atlanta. In theaters this weekend is Fistfight, starring hip-hop star Ice Cube and Charlie Day as high school teachers prepare to solve their differences the hard way, an after-school fight. Check out the hilarious funny trailer and photos from the recent ATL premiere at WCLK.com. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
I don't want to be weak. I just want to be strong. Don't want to make you uncomfortable.
Listening to member-supported Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's jazz station, and now the home for in-depth arts and entertainment. Now, back to Upfront with your host, Ray Cornelius.
You just heard the smooth and sensuous sounds of Mesa performing her hit single, Friendly Pressure. She is just one of many artists who will be appearing at the Orlando Jazz Festival. The outdoor event takes place March 9th through the 11th on the Landscape Cenef Art Plaza at the newly constructed Dr. Phillips Center for the Performing Arts. Other artists scheduled to perform along with Mesa include Boney James, Paul Taylor, David Sanborn, Marion Meadows, and many more. I had the pleasure of chatting with the festival's stage manager, Sahara Glade, about the highly anticipated inaugural event and what jazz lovers can expect in March. Well, good morning and welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I am super duper.
Yeah?
Yes,
yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah, so good to have you in the Upfront studios. We are talking to Miss Sahara Glade. She is the stage manager for the Orlando Jazz Festival, which will be taking place this coming March 9th through Saturday 11th at beautiful Orlando, Florida, my hometown. You know, I've been here so long, most people think that I'm from Atlanta, but I'm actually was born and raised right there in Orlando, Florida. And this is really exciting news. not only for the city of Orlando, but we've definitely been promoting that here in Atlanta, encouraging everyone to go down to the festival. So let's talk a little bit about the Orlando Jazz Festival, which will probably be, I think, one of the first jazz festivals in the city in quite some time. So let's talk a little bit about the festival.
Well, that's kind of historic in itself that there has not been a jazz festival of this ilk in that part of the country. And also, that's kind of the territory of the animated images.
Yeah. Walt
more
Disney,
or less.
Yeah.
More or less.
Yeah.
And then you have the Holy Land, which is not too far from there. So when you
right.
think about Florida, you tend to think of those two major events.
Yeah.
So we thought we would just, you know, dip our water into the sacred water of Orlando, Florida,
right.
and bring a festive festival. We were so fortunate with the Steel City, which is going to experience its fifth year next year. This year's its fourth year in Birmingham, Alabama. We've had tremendous success with the Steel City Jazz Festival. So we thought we would come to your neck of the woods and see what we could do down there. And it's panning out very well. The lineup is very impressive.
Yeah. You know, we've actually gotten a really good response in terms of individuals calling and asking about the festival. You know, Orlando's not that far away in terms of driving, and it's an hour flight down there. But we've got some really impressive artists that are going to be coming through this first festival. We've got Boney James. You have Mark Antone, Paul Taylor, Norman Brown, who is in who lives right here in Atlanta, but Norman will be there, as well as David Sanborn, Mesa, who's always an Atlanta favorite, and of course our very own Ken Ford, who is the King of Strings, mm-hmm. and Najee, who actually lives in Orlando. So
yeah.
really impressive
yeah.
lineup. How did you all determine or pick the artists for this first festival?
Well, we have some mainstays, which are David Sanborn. Born Boney James and Norman and Ken and Kirk Whalum, even Kyle Turner, who's from Atlanta. These guys and Marion Meadows, these along with Mesa, these people have been our mainstay for the last 4 years with Steel City. So we kind of delved back into what we knew were sure things.
Right.
And then we sprinkled it with Alex Bouillon and Mark Anton and a couple of others. Rick Braun and Everett Harp,
right,
which is going to be really nice, and Michael Linton. So in terms of picking an artist, there's so many out there today who are doing so well
yeah.
and are draws. I mean, when you put their name, you know, on the marquee, you're going to...
It's an automatic response.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
People who like the music... are just going to flock to the event. J. Anthony Brown is emceeing.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So he's emceeing Orlando and Birmingham.
Okay.
So it's going to be, you know, adult fun and laughs, you know, for while they're setting up and doing what they do, you know, tightening up the technical aspect of it. J. Anthony Brown will be on stage controlling, you know, what's going on there. So you're, you know, it's just going to be nonstop fun.
If you're just tuning in, we are talking to Sahara Glade, who is the stage manager for the Orlando.
And publicist. I got to say public,
right.
That's the major thrust. Of,
publicist and,
yeah.
and stage manager and MC. She is a woman of many talents. But we are talking about the Orlando Jazz Festival, which is taking place this March, March 9th through the 11th in beautiful Orlando, Florida. Is there anything else that you want to throw
yeah.
in? There
I
about
think that
the
it's
festival?
Important that everybody know this is an Empowerment Inc. production, both festivals, and that Cedric and Dwight Allen, the Allen brothers, Cedric and Dwight had a successful jazz club, one of the landmark jazz clubs in Birmingham, Alabama, for many years, where they interacted with people like Najee and you know the headliners of the day all passed through their jazz club on the Avenue. And then they went on to produce concerts
okay.
after that. And Dwight is an attorney here in Atlanta, Georgia. And Cedric is a businessman in Birmingham, Alabama. So the Allen brothers and the Allen family really are putting these two events on and with years of collective experience in doing this. They're pros. at presenting live performances. Yeah. So that's essential. That's why when you see that stage, and you saw that stage at Still City.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, and just to add to that, I think what's so important about the fact that these brothers come together is that you feel like family when you attend Steel City. I know, again, when we were there, it was almost like going to a family reunion because there were so many people from Atlanta that were there that heard about the festival through WCLK, and we're hoping to replicate that in Orlando for the Orlando Jazz Festival. Again, this is taking place March 9th through Saturday, March 11th, and you've got such acts as Boney James, Norman Brown, David Sanborn, Mesa, and Najee, who actually lives right there in Orlando. So it should be very exciting. For this and more information about the festival, you can definitely check it out at WCLK.com, as well as the, give us the website.
Orlando Jazz Fest, which is abbreviation for festival.
Right.
Orlando Jazz Fest. Either.com or .org. And we have a soiree, a kickoff soiree on that Thursday night at the rooftop of the Amway building. I had to think for 1 minute.
I think it's the Amway Arena.
You were telling me about how nice it is.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Because I haven't seen it, but the Amway building, we're having a kickoff that Thursday, and the festival begins that Friday. So a lot going on. Yeah. I mean, a lot of fun. So. Yeah. And hopefully you're coming down, Ray.
I am making plans to be there and to support the festival. And again, have my family, bring my family on down, and we come and check it out.
Good. Wonderful.
All right. Thanks again so much for stopping by Upfront. And we look forward to the festival.
WCLK is one of our partnering stations, one of our chief flagship partnering stations. And that's essential because without the support of WCLK, we would not have been able to reach our audience in the manner in which we have. So we are extremely grateful, and we look forward to, you know, a long partnership with WCLK, you and Wendy and everybody, Mark Angel and just the whole crew.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the support as well. Thank you so much.
Davis here. You're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius. Take it away, Ray!
The Savannah College of Art and Design recently held its annual A TV Fest, and Upfront was there to get exclusive interviews with the stars of TV's biggest shows, including Scandal, Star, and my personal favorite, Underground. The cast from the one-hour drama that premiered last year on WGN was being honored with this year's award for Outstanding Achievement in Television. Here's what Amira Van and Aldis Hodge had to say about the success of their series and why their story was different from other slave narratives like Roots and 12 Years a Slave.
I think once we read the script, all of us have very similar feelings about, oh my God, getting excited once we read the script. I think what people were tired of was the way the story was being told, not the story itself. You know, and I believe that a bunch of us felt similarly, you know? So that's what we always say. We're like, you're not alone. We don't take offense by that. We totally are on board. We're excited about this show because it is celebrating our ancestry. It's celebrating us as the, we are the fabric of this nation. We built this nation. And so that's an exciting time. It's exciting. They're heroes and heroines. So to see them celebrated, to see them fighting back, to see what we already knew was going on and the strength of our people and the joy and the love, and then see those family dynamics and love, and that's a beautiful thing to see portrayed and say, yeah, this is not something that's new to us, but we're so glad to present it to the world, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I think a film like 12 Years of a Slave was done beautifully. However, it's a narrative that we've seen a few times before. So it's nothing really wrong with the film. It's the perspective that we're craving something fresh. And it has nothing to do with the deal of enslavement. It has to do with the fact that your audience is always going to be hungry for a new perspective. And as a storyteller, that's a part of our responsibility, you know. So with us, you know, speaking to Amira's points, the fact that we did give them a different, fresh perspective, they realized that this is okay, there's a new part of this content that I wasn't aware that I was interested in until now. There's a new way to see it, and I didn't realize that. There's a new way to be proud of this, and I didn't understand that until now. And that's, I think, why a lot of people, and granted, a lot of skeptics, were turned around, because we were able to give them, you know, some new food on a different plate. You know what I mean?
Underground's newest cast member, Aisha Hines, was as equally as excited about the series even before she was cast in the role of slave abolitionist Harriet Tubman.
You and I both were screaming. I was sitting in that audience, like, at home as an audience member, not anywhere near, you know, thinking that I would be a part of this show. And so I was a part of the audience hashtagging away, who is Harriet? Who is Harriet? Where? What is this going to be? Not at for a moment thinking that I would be the answer to that question, you know. And so coming into this, I had such a tremendous reverence for Harriet Tubman, you know, just the small bit of history that I had learned about her in school, you know. And so when we got into the details of her life and I realized who she was as a little girl and as a woman and as a wife, you know, and as a soldier and as a nurse, and I realized, you know, it went from becoming this great honor to like this tremendous call of duty. Like you have to honor this woman, you know. And but yet she was such a strong woman, but she had such great vulnerabilities and great humor and great wit, you know. And so what you'll get out of the second season with her is sort of a fully fleshed encounter, you know, with this icon that has largely lived, you know, solely in the pages of our history books. You'll get the fullest education I think you can about Harriet Tubman, which is such a necessary thing at such a time as this.
Journey Smollett-Bell, who plays the feisty and fearless Rosalie, also dishes about Underground and what fans can expect this second time around.
Ms. Journey Smollett-Bell, I got an opportunity to interview you last year, and you personally told me, look, Ray, you're not ready for this show. This is a show that you've not seen before. You were so right. I watched that first episode, and I've been hooked ever since. So what can we expect from Rosalie this second season?
Yeah, you know, for me, one thing I love so much that Misha and Joe do in their writing is they explore beneath the surface, you know. They explore everything from the mundane to the manipulative, you know. And we see that these men and women really had to work with what they were given, you know. It wasn't about what they had, it was about what they did with what they had. And while some might have attempted to run and others didn't, the ones who stayed tried to make the best of it. And how do they make the best of it? You know, sometimes they were manipulating the situation or in their minds trying to make the situation work for them. But they were genius, you know, and the ingenuity that they had. For instance, the Underground Railroad is such a complex network. And that's one thing we explore deeper in season two is, you know, really, how did they operate within this network? Because they didn't have the GPS or the cell phones or the modern ways to communicate. So, you know, how did they transfer cargo? Where were the stations? What was the secret language? Why were they using boiled eggs or flashcards, you know, to communicate? And I think people will really find that fascinating in season two, is to explore the actual inner workings of the Underground Railroad.
Make sure you check out Journey's current fashion spread in Ebony Magazine, where she also discusses her views on colorism in Hollywood. Scandal actor Joe Morton talked about playing Rowan Pope, a.k.a. Papa Pope, and why he's such an important character on television. He also shared with me some hilarious encounters with fans and who he'd like to portray in a biopic.
This character never existed on TV. I mean, there have been before this character, black men who have played presidents. In the movies, Morgan Freeman played God. But I think for television, this character hasn't existed, where he was the power behind the presidency, someone who could turn to a president and say, you know, I'm above your pay grade. That never existed before. So it's an amazing thing. And on the other side of things, I guess it's not surprising that it would come from Shondaland.
Now, what is the biggest lesson that you've learned working with Shonda Rhimes?
That all things are possible. Here you have a woman, a black woman, who has not only written this wonderful show, but she has, what, four shows on TV? She owns Thursday Nights in a major television network. All things are possible.
Now, what is the I guess the craziest thing that a fan has done or said to you since you have been in this role as Papa Pope?
I guess the two things that happened is I went to Williamstown Theater Festival, and they have a cabaret there. And before the cabaret started, I was over trying to get a drink or whatever. And this woman walked up to me and she said, you know, when I walked into this room, she said, I hated you. And she said, then I realized I don't even know you. And then this past summer, I did a play in New York and I was on my way to the theater. And this woman ran out of a restaurant screaming toward me. And I thought, I was all right, just stay still. And if she attacks you, just try to hold her still. So those are the two craziest things that have ever happened to me.
Now, biopics are a very big thing these days. So is there biopics? Okay, so is there any person in history, dead or alive, that you would just love to tackle their story and bring it to the big screen?
There is. Not that I would want to play myself, but there's a character named Eugene Jacques Boulard. His claim to fame is that he was the first black combat aviator, although he never fought for the United States. He fought for France, became an enormous hero, and ended his life as an elevator operator at Radio City Music Hall.
Celebrity hairstylist turned actor Miss Lawrence talked to Upfront about his role on Star being a full circle moment. The former Tri-Cities performing arts student is finally pursuing his passion as a singer and actor and says that working with Lee Daniels is like a dream.
It's full circle for me. I originally started out, my hopes and dreams, of being a theater performer, actually, because I went to high school at Tri-Cities and I majored in musical theater and all that type of stuff. Sang in various of gospel choirs, traveled all over doing it, but I was never able to do it on my own terms, because of the whole, social normalcy thing. And at that time, people were not very embracive to talent such as myself. So that's kind of when I veered off into the beauty industry, and that is where Miss Lawrence was actually found. Because in the beauty industry, it's an industry of nothing but freedom. You can be whoever you want to be and show up and present who you want to present. And being obedient and doing that and giving 110% to that gift that I was given, it led me back full circle to this. And so it's very surreal to be able to get up out of my bed and get dressed and go to work on set in my city on a nationally televised show, doing what I was originally given, and that was the gift of song, the gift to, just share my talents in acting and all that type of stuff. So it's very dreamy. People always say, dream big, but honestly, this feels like a dream. I think originally there was might have been a vision, but now it feels like I'm dreaming.
Peace up, A-Town.
Hey, Upfront listeners, I have tickets to some of the hottest shows and happenings around the ATL. The Alliance Theater production of Too Heavy for Your Pocket is taking place now through February 26th on the Hertz stage, and you have one more chance to join me for next week's performance on February 22nd. The Georgia Ensemble Theater presents Having Our Say, the Delaney Sisters' first 100 years, is playing now through March 5th. Check out WCLK.com to find out how you can win tickets to both shows, courtesy of Upfront and Jazz 91.9 WCLK, Atlanta's Jazz Station. That was the voice of Grammy-winning superstar Usher Raymond performing one of his biggest hits, Yeah. He is just one of the many talented artists that my last guest, Sherry Riley, worked with when she was the senior director of marketing for LaFace Records. Riley eventually left that job after not being fulfilled and developed 9 principles that eventually laid the foundation for her new book. Stop spending 100% of your time on 10% of who you are is a guide that Riley says will help individuals make the most of their entire lives. The book, which came out last week, focuses on pursuing peace, choosing clarity, and living courageously. Well, good morning, Ms. Sherry Riley. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How
yeah.
you doing, Ray?
Welcome to Upfront.
Oh, it's so good to see you. Yes.
It's good to see you. You're a busy lady. You've been traveling all over the country.
I have.
Yeah?
And, yes, it's been fun.
Yeah.
Traveling is work, but I've had a good time. Yes.
And it's for good reason. You are promoting this brand new book that you have, Exponential Living. Stop spending 100% of your time on 10% of who you are.
Yes.
And you have a foreword by Usher.
Yes.
The Usher.
Usher, baby.
Usher.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Yeah. Let's talk about this book, because when we were coming into the studio, you mentioned that this has sort of been 15 years in the making. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is it was a little over 15 years that I actually said, stop spending 100% of your time on 10% of who you are, the very first time I said it.
Wow.
And I don't know if you remember Kira Lytle. You remember Kira Lytle? She used to be the marketing director for Quim and I.
That name sounds familiar.
Worked at LaFace.
Okay.
And I knew her from LaFace. I worked with her. They were my clients at Quim and I Records. And something about Kira was off. I knew she'd wanted this job and she was doing her dream job and things were great, but something was off. And I asked her, is everything okay? And she's just like, I don't know. Like, I should be really happy. Something is just not right. And knowing her, I asked her, I said, well, you know, are you singing in the choir? And have you visited your family? And do you have a pet? All these things I knew she loved.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, no, no. And I said, Kira, so how do you expect to find 100% of your fulfillment and only 10% of who you are?
Wow.
I was like, you know, you've got to stop spending 100% of your time on 10% of who you are. And both of us, it hit us like bricks.
Wow.
And some, you know, almost 16 years later, it still hits like bricks, like bam, you know, whenever people read that or see that.
Now, let's walk us through the process, because you were able to basically take what I primarily also know you through your website and some of your positive messaging that you do through your website. But this is not the messaging from the website that's in the book.
Well, the messaging from the website comes from the book.
A
lot of people, they have a blog and they blog, and from the blog, they create a book.
Right.
I wrote the book and then I then extract started, from the book from my blog.
Yeah. Which is, and give us a title again for the blog.
Daily Declarations is what I call the blog.
Okay. Okay.
Daily Declarations. And so I kind of, my journey was, I don't want to say different, but my journey was kind of like the pre-blog way of doing it.
Okay.
I had the message. I had the stop spending that came many years ago. Over time, the 9 principles began to evolve.
Okay.
And from there, it took me 7 years to get my publishing deal. So 3 years to get my agents, 4 years to get the publishing deal, and then a year to write it and a year to market it. So this has been almost a 15-year journey of actually getting the book into the marketplace. But the story really started when I resigned from LaFace.
Yeah. Now, we mentioned at the top of the show that you were the marketing director for LaFace Records. That was such a golden era during here in Atlanta during the 90s. You had Toni Braxton, TLC, and of course, working with Kenny Babyface Edmonds and L.A. Reid. That had to be amazing. And so many artists.
Geniuses.
Yeah, so many artists come through that. How did working there help you with this book?
Well, it really started there because I had this dream job. I'd worked 8 years coming from a small town in Kentucky to get to, you know, a record label in Atlanta. And I had these amazing artists, like you mentioned. I'm working in a creative, it was just everything.
It was the Motown of the South.
It was the Motown of the South. Amazing people. And I was miserable. I was absolutely miserable because my career was consuming all of me, and my life had narrowed down to this 10%, and I was trying to find 100% of my fulfillment in this small 10%, which was my career. And no matter how great that career was, it couldn't fulfill all of me. And so from that, when I resigned, you know, 6-figure income, expense account, car allowance, you know, I had all of these great things. People thought I was crazy, right, to resign, but I knew I wanted more. And so when I resigned, I literally went on the journey to figure out how to have a great career and a great life. And so my friends over the few years, they started seeing what was working for me. And so now they had $500,000 a year jobs and senior VP of this and CEO of that. And they just started calling me saying, Sherry, guess what? I'm miserable and I don't know what to do about it. Or I'm ready to transition out of this and do something different, but I don't know how to do it.
Right.
And I just started sharing with them what I was doing, and it started working for them. And so more people were calling, and it was just, you know, my friends and family. And I started noticing these things are working. These really are principles that are working. And that's when I started to put it all together. But I'm going to tell you really what the impetus was, you know, people that I loved started dying, either self-inflicted or bad choices. And I realized that I couldn't sit on this message any longer. I realized that just because you had fame and fortune and money and access, it didn't mean you had peace and clarity.
Wow.
And so that's where the book really started to birth out of. So really that LaFace experience gave me the framework for why this was so important.
Okay. So let's get into the book. You have a section, or I believe it's a chapter, Happy is a Choice, Joy is a Lifestyle.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So the book is the 9 principles. So each principle is a chapter.
Okay.
And so the 6th principle is happy is a choice, joy is a lifestyle. And what that is, you know, so many of us feel like that our circumstances is what's going to make us happy. You know, when I get to that next raise, or when I get to that title, or when I get married, or when I have my first child, it's always something.
Yeah.
But the reality is we have to choose to be happy regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on around us. And then joy is what we have on the inside. Joy is not affected by our circumstances. And so when we really understand that the circumstances outside of us is our reality, but it doesn't represent our truth. So when you hit a bad patch in life, and I've had some very bad places, right? I had to accept that the circumstances wasn't my reality, but it wasn't my truth. And so when we decide every day to celebrate and have gratitude, that's when happy is a choice and joy is a lifestyle.
Wow. Now this is, and we were talking about this a little bit before we got started. This is almost kind of like your second time around, because again, you were working for LaFace Records during what I consider one of the golden eras of Atlanta. And now we've got this big boom of television and film, and from LaFace, Atlanta continued to just build and become this music capital, not only for R&B, but for hip hop. Yeah. And so many musical acts have moved here and are living here and are producing music here. And then you couple that with television and film. So it's almost like Atlanta is where it was back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. But this time you're not really helping with the career part and helping you get your music out there, but you're helping people with their lives.
With the life, yeah.
So how does it feel to kind of be on this, doing this for the second time around, I should say?
What's so interesting, Ray, is before when I was doing the marketing, people would hire me for the marketing, but I always took what I call this 360-degree approach.
Okay.
So even though I was doing your marketing, I was still working with who you were as a person. Now it's flipped, where the 360 degree is you're hiring me now as your life strategist, but I still have this great Rolodex and this amazing experience in this marketing to really help you on your business as well. So what I call, why I say I'm a life strategist, is it really is a 360 degree approach. But there's such an awareness now, whether you're, you know, an artist that's in your late 40s or whether you're a new artist in your 20s, there's an awareness that you don't have to just have a career, that you really can have the full picture.
Yeah.
And so this second reiteration of it is just kind of, it's like the ball has spinned,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
the,
yeah.
What's in the forefront has just kind of spinned around.
Yeah.
Wow. So I'm loving it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, what do you want readers to take away from this particular book? Because there's so many, you know, there's so many self-help, I should say, books out mm-hmm. there. What do you want readers to take away from particular book?
I love this question, because I say it in the parting thoughts at the end. I don't want a transaction, meaning I don't want you to just buy the book. I don't want you to just download the ebook. I don't want you to just buy Audible, right? I want transformation. I want this to really be a manual and a guide that you read it and you refer to it and you genuinely go through the process of the transformation. And so what I want people to walk away with, I want them to live by 3 simple truths: pursue peace, choose clarity, and live courageously. If we can truly pursue peace, it gives us that clarity, right?
Right.
And when we have peace and clarity, it gives us the power to do anything. And when we have that courage, we can make any decision.
Yeah.
You know, we can make any transition, and we literally can experience a lifestyle of exponential living.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry Rowley, for stopping by and talking to the Upfront audience about your new book, Exponential Living, which is now out. It's been out for a week now.
Yes, it's been out for a
really
week.
Really exciting. Stop spending 100% of your time on 10% of who you are. And again, you have a foreword by Usher Raymond, our very own Usher. And I've known Sherry for a very long time. And like I said, I've received your inspirational, encouraging messages. I particularly love the one about your new normal.
Yes.
You know,
Yes.
I had to pull you to the side in the corner on that one at an event. I was like, oh my God, you got me together with that one. So definitely a book that we want our listeners to check out. And how can they follow you on social media?
Yes. Sherry Riley, Sherriley is the website, the okay. Twitter and Instagram.
All right.
So Sherry Riley.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ray.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to today's show. I'd really like to thank my guests, Sahara Glade, the cast of Scandal, Star, and Underground, and Sherry Riley. I would also like to thank my engineer, Mark Angel, and you. Please join us next Saturday, February 25th at 9 a.m. for another exciting edition of Upfront. You can also keep up with me during the week at raycornelius.com and on Facebook and Instagram under Ray Cornelius. Happy Saturday, Atlanta. If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, has been brought to you by Atlanta's jazz station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.